Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Kim Grinnell of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund, and intern George Johnson, where Washington defeated Washington State 31-13 in front of an announced crowd of 70,931. Game time, 3 hours and 11 minutes. Seems like that's been within a couple minutes of every game this year. Temperature at kickoff was 41 degrees. It wasn't that bad down there. It was actually pretty nice. Got a little bit cold, but overall, good day. And Just going off topic a little bit, it was really good to see the third quarter legend, Kaysen Williams. You know, he's got an infectious smile. He was with his mom, Rhonda, and Husky legend, Aaron Williams. But it was great to see Kaysen Williams down for the third quarter legend. But, you know, they're bringing back some of these legends, Chris, that don't seem like they've been that long ago or we're just getting old.
Yeah, true. And they showed the jump that he did in the 2011 one at CenturyLink, which I thought was awfully cool. But it is kind of funny because you think of all the guys that are high hurdling guys nowadays and you take it for granted. I mean, when that was happening, that was like the coolest thing ever. You know, and that was 8 years ago. So that does feel like a long time.
Yeah, just real quick, and then we'll move on to the game. But I had a chance to talk to Kaysen a little bit. And if I could use one word to describe his feeling today, humbled. He was pretty emotional about being named a third quarter legend. He was incredibly humbled, had his family there. So he signed with the Seattle Dragons of the XFL. So look for Kaysen for your hometown XFL team coming soon.
Well, I was going to say, too, it's not, and it wasn't just for any game, too. It was an Apple Cup.
Yeah.
And for a local kid like that, a kid from Skyline, I think that would mean something a little bit more.
Yeah. Big game for Washington, big win, monkey off their back. Washington State won the toss and elected to take the ball and march right down the field, scored a touchdown, and then Washington gets the ball back and goes three and out. And I'm sure everybody watching TV, following on the internet and in the stands was going to say, well, they were saying, here we go again.
Yeah, they definitely were on the message boards, I'll tell you that. But, you know, this, I don't know, they give up a sack. That kind of put them behind the chains, I think, early, and then they ended up throwing three passes. And I remember saying to, I think I said it to George, why are they passing? Why not just run the ball and see what you can do? So they got back to a little bit more of that, and I put it in my game analysis, but I think the play of the game, the turning point of the game, was the 57-yard pass from Eason to Terrell Bynum, because that just really kick-started the offense.
I asked Jake Beeson about that, you know, what was his most memorable play today, and he said that. He said it just kind of opened up the floodgates and just got that offense rolling, and it was a big deal. But it looked like after that first series that Washington State's defensive backs didn't really have any answers for Jake Beeson. I kind of looked down at the stats. I was surprised. I thought Jake Beeson threw a lot more passes than he did, but he only threw 22.
Well, I think it's because Anthony Gordon threw like 62 passes. Yeah. So, I mean, it probably felt like there was nothing but passes going on today. I just wanted to remark quickly, Kim, on your comment about how Washington State took the ball, which I didn't find surprising at all. I mean, they're an offensive team. That's what they do. But I was thinking, who was the last team that won the toss against Washington, took the ball, and just did their thing? Was Stanford. And I was thinking, okay, and you laid it out, Scott. You know, they take the ball, they score. Then all of a sudden, Washington just looks just horrible in the first series, and you're thinking, "Yep, here it is. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be just like Stanford all over again."
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I started to mentally prepare myself for another loss like we've seen this season. But I was really impressed with the way that defense kind of stiffened up after that three and out by the Dogs. And then, yeah, like we talked about, that big pass play from Eason just really opened things up. And then seeing Eason sneak it into the end zone was great. You can tell he's really fired up after that. I think after that 7-7 and then the – was it 10-7 or 14-10 maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, I think – I don't speak for just myself when I'm saying – we were starting to get a little more comfortable as fans, at least at that point, a little bit, you know.
And Scott, it, you know, the Washington State, when you take a look at the number of plays they ran 82 plays versus Washington 51. But, I mean, they were just throwing little quick short passes. Was there any ball downfield that traveled over 20 yards in the air?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
10 yards in
there? Look at the stats. What was their long pass?
Well, yeah, but that was a catch and a run.
Right, but that's the point. The point is they didn't throw anything.
I said, was there anyone where the ball traveled 20 yards in the air?
Right, but I think it was a rhetorical question because you know. I mean, the longest pass that they had was a catch and run.
Yeah, you know, so they're not – it made me a little insane at times just with the amount of time that he had to throw, especially early. But he seemed to have a lot of time to throw. But this is a team where they had over 600 passes so far this year. They threw it 62 times. They'd only had 13 sacks so far this year. Mm-hmm. Washington had 5 today.
Yeah, that was great to see. And me and Scott were saying it can be frustrating as fans to watch the Cougs just do their thing, eat up clock, you know, dip and dunk you all the way down to the red zone. And then that's where the Dogs defense really took over and, you know, held them to field goals and turned the ball over. So that was good to see. But yeah, it's sometimes going to be tough to watch them just take up all that time and move the ball so well.
You know what it reminded me of, Kim? It reminded me of when Arizona came here and played with Nick Foles. And it's like death by 1,000 paper cuts until the end of the game when Washington was able to pull it out. But that game, they literally were throwing those screens to the side like all night, and Washington couldn't do anything to stop them.
Well, somebody asked, you know, Chris Peterson, you know, post game if, you know, Washington State did anything different. He goes, hey, do what they do. I mean, it's the same offensive game plan. It doesn't change, you know, and it's almost the same where Jimmy Lake took, you know, it's been the same game plan for him for the last 5 years. You know, how much of a game plan did they plan? Nothing. They just pulled out the one from last year and the year before and the year before because it seemed to work.
Well, why wouldn't they? I mean, it's bottom line is if you can get control of the line of scrimmage with three guys on five offensive linemen, you win every single down. You're going to, even if they get a first down, even if they get 5-6 yards of play, you are winning because you're eliminating their big play. And Anthony Gordon, if you went back and looked statistically at all of the recent quarterbacks under Mike Leach in that air raid offense, he is the one by far was more aggressive than anyone else going down the field. And Washington was just like, nope, we're not having any of that. If you're gonna have drives, you're gonna have 15, 16 play drives that go 80 yards every single time to score, and that seemed to work well.
And Scott, it just seemed like when Washington State did break a long play, it seemed like they were blitzing. How much time were they spending in their base nickel and dime?
The Huskies?
Yeah.
I would say they were in dime probably 80-ish% of the time, 75% of the time, nickel part of the time. And then, I mean, they had like three or four offensive or defensive linemen in there. They had a couple times where they had linebackers in there. But for the most part, it was six or seven DBs.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, tell me about the personnel groupings because it looked like Kyler Manu and Brandon Wellington started the game.
Manu didn't play. Ulofosio.
It was Ulofosio?
Yeah, no, Manu didn't play. I don't remember.
I don't remember Kyler Manu playing at all today.
Yeah, and Ulofosio had a big game, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. He did. He had, I think it was 12?
16 tackles.
No, that was Wellington.
That was Wellington.
Yeah. He had Eddie Ulofosio had 12 tackles.
12 tackles.
One and a half for loss and, one sack. 1.5 sacks and 2 tackle for loss. Mm-hmm. But, you know, can you talk just a little bit about more of the scheme? And if did you see anything different? Did they run the defensive ends out wide and leave the middle open today?
Not at all.
No. In fact, I commented to those guys at halftime. I was thinking, I wonder if they're going to run that scheme where they basically vacate the entire middle of the defensive line. They never did that. They never showed that once today.
No, they played it straight up. I mean, it was pretty straight up. They played it. Keith Taylor was basically playing safety spot for the most part. Elijah Molden was kind of doing the same thing on the other side. Miles Bryant, I think, what he did, he come down and play the slot a few times. That was a little different, and yeah, and
he didn't come down nearly as much as I thought he would.
No,
he really. Hold on.
Yeah, well, one thing I was thinking was kind of a key to the game was, aside from a few missed tackles, maybe from Wellington and maybe a couple DBs. I mean, I thought they did a pretty good job bottling up some of those receivers after they'd catch it on the run. You know, they didn't get too many yards after the catch, except for in open space. So I thought we did a good job open field tackles, making tackles to stop the runners. So that was good.
We'll go down the stat sheet a little bit more, but I think the stats, you know, that really jump out at me and pretty much tell the story of the game is when you take a look at red zone chances. Washington State had 5 chances in the red zone. Washington had 5 chances. Washington State was only able to score on 3 of the 5. And out of those 5 chances, only 1 touchdown. Washington, on the other hand, 4 out of 5. So Washington got it done in the red zone. Washington State failed to get it done in the red zone, Scott.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Max Borgi got the first touchdown for Washington State, and everyone's like, oh, here he goes, because he said he was going to score a lot in the Apple Cup. That was the only time he got even close to sniffing the end zone after that.
He had as many touchdowns as he had tackles. So,
yeah, just taking a look at some of the stats, you know, that jump out at you. Washington State had 27 first down. Washington only had 16 total net yards passing. Washington State with 308. Washington with 244 total net yards. Pretty close. Washington State with 339. Washington with 342. Time of possession. You know, and Coach Pete said time of possession in these types of games don't mean anything. It was the first quarter, which was a little bit frustrating, where Washington State had the ball 11 minutes, 11 minutes, 9 seconds. Washington only 3 minutes and 51 seconds, but they got the ball in the opening kickoff, and Washington went 3 and out on their first third down conversion. Again, a little bit of an issue for Washington, only 2 of 8 on third downs. Washington State was 8 of 14, but it seemed that Washington seemed to do it when it mattered. Do you want me to go down to the personal stats, or you want to comment on any of those? Personal stats, Max Borgi had 10 carries for 50 yards. Anthony Gordon, 48 for 62 for 308 yards with a long of 24. He had 2 interceptions, but he also was sacked 5 times. Leading receiver, Max Borgi, 12 for 58. When you take a look at Washington's side of the ball, Savon Ahmed had 16 carries for 85. Richard Newton, 9 for 17. Jacob Eason, real efficient day today, 15 of 22 for 244. No interceptions. He had a long of 57 to Terrell Bynum. Hunter Bryant was your leading receiver with 6 carries for 96 catches for 96 yards. Terrell Bynum, 3 catches for 77 yards, a touchdown, and a long the 54-yard pass as well. But, boy, you take a look at some of these defensive stats, Scott, they really jump out at you. Brandon Wellington had 16 tackles. Elijah Molden had 14 tackles. Well, they're throwing the ball a lot, and he had a tackle for loss as well as an interception. Eddie Ulofosio had 12 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 2 tackles for loss. And Joe Tryon seemed to make it the big plays when it matters. He only had 4 tackles, but he had 2 sacks and 2.5 tackles for loss. So, and then total tackles. This is kind of a number that jumps out at you. Washington State only had 54 tackles. Washington had 75.
Well, right. They ran 81 plays, right? That's what you said in the beginning. Yeah. So it's going to make Washington's defensive stats look phenomenal, but that's because they had to tackle a lot of guys.
Yeah, big day. You know, just as impressive as those passing numbers were for Anthony Gordon, those tackle numbers were pretty impressive for Washington. And, you know, tackling's been an issue this year. Scott, how were they today?
Well, early on, they weren't very good. They were out of position. They took some bad angles, but After the first quarter, basically they were on it, and that was what each of the defensive players that we talked to after the game said. It's when we let them make the catch, and then you rally up and you make the tackle, and you need to make sure that you're being physical at the tackle, and that's why they were able to force that turnover in the fourth quarter, early in the fourth quarter when Washington State got down. Kind of inside, where was that? About the 20-yard line, somewhere around there?
You talking about the McDuffie pick?
No.
Talking about the fumble?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in the fourth quarter.
And that would have been a scoop and score situation. So it kind of stunk because it took us 7 points off the board for the Huskies. But
one of the guys who I thought had an outstanding game, Trent McDuffie, Had a forced fumble as well as an interception. How high of a level is he playing at right now?
Yeah, it's good to see him starting lineup. I was mentioning to Scott that he got young guys on the field still for defense, which is great to see. But yeah, it was funny. He almost had two picks today until, was it Molden who came over and stole that ball from him? Could have had a chance for McDuffie to take it back a few yards. But yeah, great to see him out there making plays. Big time interception for, 30-yard return, I think. So
yeah, I was going to say the biggest thing for me is you've got guys in front of him and Kyler Gordon and Dominique Hampton that could be playing corner right now, and they're not playing corner right now. He's true freshman playing corner. He's showing his worth. Yep. And Jimmy Lake is clearly showing a lot of trust in him.
Yeah, and Kyler Gordon started the year, and then Trent McDuffie took over. So it's good to see that he's playing at such a high level. Miles Bryan, I thought, had a hell of a game out there, too. I think it's pretty obvious he's been the leader of the defense all year, and I think he led the team in trash talking today, too. He seemed to be having fun out there.
I don't know. Kyler Gordon was the one that got the personal foul, the unsportsmanlike conduct at the end of the game. So
I didn't see what that was for.
I'm sure he just talked a little John at the end when they were already up and they were getting the ball and all that good stuff.
What's wrong with that?
Ask an official. Don't ask me.
Yeah. Going back over to the offensive side of the ball, Scott, I started to get a little concerned. Jackson Kirkland, it was interesting. Pete said if NFL game, he probably would have played, but this isn't the NFL. It's college football. So Jackson Kirkland didn't play, and Henry Bainaval, who sure seemed to struggle on that first series.
Oh, yeah. He struggled quite a bit, I would say, on several series. It took him a while to really get his feet under him. And that's been one of the knocks on him since he arrived at the University of Washington was not his abilities, his talent, his physical side of things. It's been the mental side, just picking up the protections and all that different stuff. They're going to have to get him going because, next year he could be your starting left guard. He could be your starting right tackle or your left tackle. He's probably the most talented offensive lineman they have right now on the field, but if he can't get it done, mentally, then that's really who cares if he's the best guy.
The running game. If there's any fault that I can point out today, they struggled with the running game, and I thought that was something they should have been able to really get going today.
Eight in the box. That's what was basically Wazoo said. If you're going to beat us, you're going to do it throwing the ball. And Washington answered the bell, but you could see it, man. When they were running a counter play, Washington had one guy over to block on the right side, and the Cougs were bringing two guys. You're not going to be successful doing that. So
I was going to say too, kudos to Bush Hamden for sticking with it. Yep. Savon Achman still got 85 yards mm-hmm. against the stack box. It's good. It's good hard running.
5.3 yards a carry.
Right, but I will tell you the reason why I think it was so effective was because in terms of the overall game plan, it still opened everything up. The way they were able to use the tight ends off of some of that stuff, the screen to Otten was immense. It was such a great call at that time. It worked perfectly. Just the stuff that they were able to throw to Hunter Bryant and also Otten. It just really showed that you got to stick to it. Even if it just doesn't feel like it's clicking and you're just not getting the yards that you should, it's going to pay off. It's like Novocaine. Eventually it's going to hit and you're going to feel it because, it just worked. It just worked. And I'm glad he stayed with it because he had to.
This has got to be, you'll have to go back and take a look at the snaps, but is this the lowest amount of plays that this team has run this year?
Might be close. I don't know. I think Stanford might be close as well.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
How you doing over there, George?
I am just thrilled. I'm very excited about that seventh win in a row, and ending the regular season on a good note is critical after this season. So, yeah, I'm doing great.
Remind people where you're from.
I'm from Spokane again, so got a lot of Coug fans, you know, back at home. I'll be having some fun chats with this winter break. A lot of people following me on social media who are diehard Cougs, so I just love rubbing it in. It's a good place to be for a dog fan.
This is your fourth Apple Cup?
At UW, yeah. It's just my second, yeah.
So what's celebrating tonight on campus going to be like tonight, George?
Oh, it's going to be wild, just like it was this morning, man. The alley, I don't know if you guys know about the alley back there on 47th, I think. It was packed, and tonight should be even more. So,
what's your plan? What are you going to do tonight,
you know,
George?
What? I'm going to go have a good meal with my family before they take off back to Spokane, and then we'll see where the night takes me from there.
I asked Nick Harris, you know, last game at Husky Stadium, big win at the Apple Cup, what he was going to be doing tonight. And he's trying to tell me he was going to go home and study for a paper he had to write. You buying that?
We'll see about that one, Brick.
I was going to say, too, people need to make sure they check out Jake Browning. He finally tweeted once. He's since April, and it happened to be in the fourth quarter of the game today. And he had a picture of himself watching the game. You could see his feet, and he was like kicked back for the fifth straight year in the fourth quarter watching the Huskies win, which I thought was that was very frosty. That was kind of classic Jake Browning shit.
I love it. I love him just showing his love for the dogs still and just chirping off at the Cougs. Yeah, that's a wonderful time to tweet for the first time after however long it was.
Jake kind of reminds me of Brandon Roy. Neither one of them say much, but when they do, it's usually right in the nose.
Oh, no. That one was like, I guarantee you every Washington fan that saw that was just howling in laughter, because it does kind of represent a little bit of how dominant they've been under him when they played. And then obviously tonight in the fourth quarter, today in the fourth quarter, it was probably a little closer for comfort than obviously Washington fans would ever want it to be. But at the same time, did it ever really truly feel like Washington State was going to, maybe they were going to get close, but were they ever going to overcome? I mean, Washington kicks that 22-yard field goal to go up three scores, and you have to think that it's in the bank by then.
So what was better, the tweet by Jake Browning or Mike Leach's post-game comments, Scott?
Browning, no question. I expect that crap out of Leach when he gets frustrated.
Well, explain yourselves.
Well, if you want to hang.
I mean, if you're going to put it on the podcast, Kim.
Yeah.
Well, it's out there. I mean, you'll see it on the site. We're putting a story up on that, right?
We're not a story. We already embedded it.
Okay, it's out there. I mean, you'll see it. But
it's on the game wrap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but just a great overall win today. I think, like I said, you know, I think early on we were a little bit concerned, and then Washington seemed to just kind of pull away. I know a lot of fans get frustrated when Washington State just seems to be marching it down the field, but boy, it just seems like they get in the red zone and, okay, they can march it down to the brick wall, which seems to be the 20-yard line, and then Washington State just can't seem to get beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, this is par for the course. You know, I mean, what you said it a little bit earlier. It seemed like basically the last 7 years. You know, it seemed like somebody just hit play again. Yeah. You know,
Chris Peterson said it in his postgame, guys. I mean, flat out, he goes, they do what they do. And it's become very, very obvious that Mike Leach is super stubborn about this. He's just going to run it, and they'll take what they're given. But they clearly don't have enough to get over the line all the time. I mean, they have enough to get over once or twice, but that's about it. And in Washington is literally like, you take all the yards you like. Because, again, Peterson said at the end, he goes, this ain't about yards, guys. This is about points. And when it comes down to it, we're not going to give you a lot of points. And that's just the way it worked out. And is it going to work out that way next year? I'm going to bank on it. I'm going to keep banking on it until something changes. Because if Mike Leach doesn't change, Chris Peterson and Jimmy Lake sure as the hell ain't going to change. Why would they?
Well, what did Rocky Balboa say? If you could change, I can change. We can all change. But Mike Leach ain't going to change. But
why would he? I mean, he gets it done like 6-7 games out of the year, and that seems to be good enough for whatever, and that's good.
Scott Eklund, final thoughts.
Great way to end the regular season. Propels you into the mid-year signing period, which comes up, starts on December 18th. There's going to be two recruiting weekends that they have before signing day. They're going to be really busy, and that's what I'll be focusing on here over the next couple weeks. And then it propels you, it gives you confidence heading into that bowl game as you're preparing and everything like that. And, you know, we'll see who they end up, where they end up going and who they end up playing, because that could be a pretty fun matchup if some of the things work out.
Enter George Johnson, final thoughts before you go hit your party on the alley.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a really positive way to end the season. As Scott was talking about, great momentum going into next year, going into the bowl game. You know, they had both the Red Box and I think the Holiday Bowl guys here tonight. That was interesting to see. I think, you know, no Washington fan can be too disappointed about the Holiday Bowl at this point. So we'll see where that ends up. But yeah, just, I mean, it took a roller coaster of a season, and you can always count on the Apple Cup to end something on a good note. So yeah, good stuff. Good to see.
Chris Fetter's final thoughts.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did talk to the Holiday Bowl rep. I think they would love Washington. If it comes down to it, I just kind of got that sense. I think they've always liked Washington when they've come down. I think they've always really appreciated that the fan base travels. And I think San Diego at the end of December, I don't think anyone's going to call that a problem. But as far as the game itself, very much a microcosm, I think, of the year. Just spells where there was just a lot of inconsistent play on both sides of the ball. But they were able to knit it together and make it work for the full 60 minutes. And again, I don't know how much of that is because Washington was able to overcome some things, or if that is, again, just Mike Leach's stubbornness offensively and getting his quarterbacks to try to maybe force some things a little bit later in the game when they get behind and then all of a sudden they turn the ball over. It just feels like it's a formula that is so played out over there. I'm just shocked that they don't try to change something a little bit different for this game, but they are who they are. And you know, Peterson said they run that pure style air raid and they're not going to change it. So that just means more wins for Washington in the Apple Cup. So I guess long may it continue.
Yeah, as far as the bowl game goes, I think the Holiday Bowl is an outside chance. I still think that they would rather have USC.
They can't. USC can't. They have to go to the Alamo Bowl.
They can choose.
They have to. Here's the deal.
On the field, everybody was saying Holiday Bowl. Yeah. Period.
The only reason I say that is because when you look at the conference records, Alamo Bowl has to take the third place team. I mean, again, this is all assuming Utah and Oregon make New Year's Six games or a playoff game, whatever. But because USC is so far ahead in the conference standings, not the overall standings, but the conference standings, they are more than one game ahead. And because of that, Alamo Bowl is contractually obligated to take them. Yeah. So then after that, it's Holiday, Red Box, Vegas, Sun Bowl. They can take whoever.
Yeah, and I'm here, and it's, I mean, my source, I'm not going to throw my source under the bus.
But you almost did.
But outside chance at the Holiday Bowl and Red Box Bowl would probably be second in line, and the Vegas Bowl would probably be third in line. You know, just that's what I'm hearing, and I'm sure we'll hear more stuff as the days go on. So
we have to wait until after the Pac-12 championship game, right?
Yeah. Well, because they have to figure out where they're going, and then the dominoes fall from there.
Yeah. So just a couple of programming notes. Monday, there's a basketball game against South Dakota or South Dakota State. I think it's South Dakota.
South Dakota, I think.
Yeah, and then Wednesday, Eastern Washington on Wednesday night. Radio show Wednesday night. If you're not watching the basketball game, starting at about 6:20, Scott Eklund, Brandon Huffman, live in studio. We'll be talking a lot of recruiting for those not watching the basketball game. So,
or you can have the basketball game on and turn the sound down and listen to us.
Yeah, just lots of stuff going on. Expect recruiting to pick up here a little bit now that we've got the season over with. So we'll see what happens with that. It's been a long week. It's been a long couple weeks, you know, after the loss to Colorado. I know the fan base can get disappointed. And, boy, if they were only disappointed, it wouldn't be so tough. But some of the anger out there is a little bit tough to deal with. So, you know what? Season's over. We'll look forward to the bowl game. And then basketball season, spring football won't be that far around the corner. And then we'll just start all over again. So for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnolds, along with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund, and intern George Johnson, who will be hitting the alley tonight. Go Dogs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.